from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Boccolo. He's brought to you by Technology Group Solutions, where purpose meets possibilities. J.J., good to have you on the show. Are you able to take like a deep breath a little bit after 5 o'clock yesterday?
Well, rolled home and watched our game. So just keep going on to the next thing. But, we got a chance now with the draft being over, now the trade deadline being over, to catch our breath a little bit and focus on the rest of this season and really start planning even for the offseason.
How does yesterday and even the weeks leading up to the trade deadline just all come together? I think it's interesting, at least for me and maybe our listeners too, when another move happens from another team or another player and the compensation that may or may not be given up in that trade, does that have a serious repercussion on maybe there was a player that you thought was going to require more and then somebody else goes for less, so it impacts you guys? How does that, I guess, one move impact what you guys can do?
Yeah, well, there's certainly one move does impact other moves, and simply in acquisition cost and prospect value that's given up. There were some deals that were made that there was a lot of prospect value that was given up, and that drove up the price on some other guys. And, as an organization, you have to make a choice at that point. How far are you willing to go? And, that's the balance. We're getting a chance to today look back through all the deals, and there's going to be some deals we're going to think that was a smart trade. They didn't give up a ton, but they got exactly what they needed. And there's going to be some we're going to probably say, yeah, we probably wouldn't have gone there. So every deal does have an impact on the next one for sure.
All right. So who is the player you thought you had then, JJ? tell us the guy you're like, I definitely was trading for him.
There's a lot of players. How about Lorenzen, Ursig, Harvey, and Young? They were the ones.
when you look back through those deals, JJ, though, I think you talked a little bit about it yesterday. How important was it when you were talking about this trade deadline? Because you want to be aggressive and prove to the players that they're worthy of trading for more players and that they're a team capable of winning important things this year, but also solving some future needs. It seems like that's what you did with Ursig and others, where you're telling yourselves, hey, we can maybe solve a problem this one and maybe check off something from the buy list in the offseason.
Well, if you take a look at our projected roster for next year, even taking like performance out of it completely, we're going to lose more guys out of our bullpen than we are anywhere else. So that was certainly a need, not only for this season, but moving forward. So trying to acquire pitchers, relief pitchers that had years of control was high on our list. And, both Harvey and Ursig both represent that, Harvey through next year and Ursig through 29. So we were able to accomplish that. And, sending a message You don't want to make moves just to make moves. You want to make moves that make sense. You want to make moves that improve your club. But this team has earned the right for us to go out and get other players. They've done the work on the field. They've played extremely well, and we wanted to help them to continue to play well. And then also even just our fan base. I mean, our fans are excited right now about what our team's doing. You know, we have really good evaluators and really good ways of just evaluating our team. How could we make this team better so our fans continue to enjoy what's going on this year? So it was necessary for us to make moves. But again, it wasn't going to be moves just to make moves. They were going to be moves that would make sense for us in 24 and make sense for us moving forward.
It might be worth breaking down these players one by one, but I guess let's start with Hrsic, since you mentioned he thought he might be a back-end bullpen piece for you at some point. When you say that yesterday, do you mean he could be a ninth inning guy this year and in the long term? Just kind of how do you see his role as far as leverage goes?
Well, he's done it this year. I mean, they have Mason Miller out there in Oakland, who's probably the best in the game right now. So he was pitching mostly in the eighth inning. But when Mason got hurt last week, Lucas stepped in and closed a couple games. So he doesn't have a lot of experience doing it, but he has the stuff to do it. He's pitching the eighth inning. And when you look at just how closers are developed, most of them start in the seventh inning, then they go to the eighth inning, and then eventually they get to the ninth inning. There's a process that takes place with every great closer in the game, and Lucas is on that trail. And the same can be said about Hunter Harvey. You know, he's behind Finnegan. He was a setup guy in Washington. He had done it very well for a couple of years. He's going to have the opportunity to close. But the fact that neither one has truly been a closer, they don't have 30 saves in their back pocket in the past, we're just going to let that develop. I'm just glad, and the staff is glad, that we have two guys that now can pitch in the back end, and however it works out, it works out. But they're team guys. They get it. They're going to pitch wherever Q says you're going in, and hopefully by the end of the season, something is established and we have some consistency there.
We've already seen a couple looks at Hunter Harvey. Of course, he was traded a couple weeks earlier, and we saw him again yesterday. What do you make of so far what he's done for you guys? I know he had a little bit of a back issue prior to yesterday's appearance.
Yeah. Well, first thing is it's good to see him out there 2 days after, you know, he walked off. So that was encouraging. He's been a little rusty. You know, he didn't get a chance. And that All-Star break, he had pitched the Friday before the All-Star break and then didn't pitch again until I think the following Saturday it was. So that, I think that took its toll on him a little bit. But I think with the more touches he gets, the more innings he pitches, the sharper he'll get. I thought last night was actually a really good inning, even though he gave up a run. I thought his stuff was as good as we've seen it, and it'll continue to trend that way.
When you look at some of the other spots, people are going to ask a question like, hey, who could you have targeted? When you look at what Hunter Renfroe has done for you the last 2.5 months, did that make it easier to not feel like a corner outfielder, which was something Royals fans are talking a lot about, JJ, to make it easier to think maybe that wasn't on the list?
Yeah, no, we're very comfortable with what Hunter's doing. He was, got off to a slow start, and you know, now is, I think he's got over an 800 OPS since the middle of May. So he's producing at a very high level. Obviously, he's moved up in the lineup now, hitting 5 and 6 and getting some big hits for us. So it did make it easier. Hunter is going to be on our team one way or the other. But the fact that he's producing took a lot of pressure off of us to go try to find a super impactful bat. We were able to add a piece in DeJong that can help us in a lot of different ways because Hunter is going to be in the lineup, you know, just about every day.
How often are you thinking you want DeJong in the lineup? Do you envision him as an everyday player, a 4 or 5 day a week player? Like, what did you and Q talk about his role?
Yeah. Well, one thing we've talked about, and we'll see how it develops, but, you know, potentially playing some left field if needed. You know, third base is the most obvious spot where he should get some time. We got a guy named Bobby Witt Jr. at shortstop, so he's not going to play shortstop. So he'll get some time at third base. We'll mix him in at second base. It's part of the rotation that we run. It's not a set number of days a week. It's just matchup related. You know, who's on the mound? Who do they have in the bullpen?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Who do we want coming off the bench? But he's going to factor in whether it's a third, potentially in left, DH, or bat off the bench. He's just going to be part of the team and, you know, help us operate the way we want to operate.
We're talking to JJ Piccolo, Royals general manager, joining us here on Cody and Gold. We've seen different pieces get opportunities at the top of the order there. How much consideration was there even leading up to the trade deadline about where you guys are at with the leadoff spot?
Yeah, there was really just one or two players that we thought could have fit that bill. The trades didn't work out, and you know that's just the nature of it. But it was under consideration for sure. We'd like to get some stability at the top of the lineup. Right now, we got Massey hitting leadoff, and you know it's a little bit unconventional just because he doesn't walk a whole lot. Although he's walked a couple times since he's been in the leadoff hole. But what has been nice with Michael in that spot, he's coming up, you know, in his third and fourth at bats in some big situations, and it's worked out well with guys on base. That he's come up. But, you know, to answer your question directly, we did look, we did talk, but we weren't able to land those players. And, you know, you go with what you got right now.
What's kind of your dream scenario there? Do you still kind of hope Mikel Garcia proves that he's deserving of that chance again? Or do you just, is it kind of like the bullpen for you guys, JJ, where you'll try a number of things until something sticks?
Yeah, that's a tough one to answer. I mean, I know when Mikel was going good, it was an exciting 1-2 punch because the game could be in motion with Mikel's aggressiveness on the bases, Bobby hitting behind him, both of them on the base together. We really like that. You know, Michael, you know, just coincidentally, I mean, he's a relative of Alcides Escobar. He's got some of those traits. You know, he's a free swinger. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You know, we're hopeful that Mikel will calm down. He seems to have settled in since he's moved down in the lineup. I think his at-bats have been better, and maybe eventually he works his way up there. So it's just going to be, you know, keep trying different things until we find the right mix. But maybe at the end of the year it is Mikel. Maybe Michael Massey settles in there right now. So I think we'll just keep trying things until we find the one that works best.
A couple days ago, I know you were asked about Michael Lorenzen, the move with the Rangers there, and what his role is going to be. And I don't know, post-trade deadline, now seeing what arm you also were able to acquire from Oakland, if it changes your view on that at all. But how do you see Michael Lorenzen fitting in? We know he's got 18 starts here with the Rangers, but could he be a bullpen guy for you guys?
Well, he's pitched out of the bullpen before. You know, I think our acquisition was with the thought that he's going to make starts for us, more so because we're very conscious of the innings that have been pitched by our current starters. There's a couple that are still, we think, very young in their careers, and they're going to start getting into territories they've never been in before. So if there's a way that we can manage this and really keep guys fresh, you know, keep them as strong as they can possibly be all the way through September and hopefully into October, you know, Michael gives us a chance to do that. Michael Lorenzen, gives us a chance to do that. But it's also knowing that he can go in the bullpen and be an effective reliever as well. So he's a veteran. He likes to win. He sort of fits in with the personalities we have on the team. His background's similar. He's a team guy. So whatever role it is, we know he's willing to fill it. But he has made 18 starts this year, and that doesn't go unnoticed.
Is it kind of awkward when you, going back to the DeJong, is it kind of awkward to trade for a guy who's on the opposite side of the dugout? Does that make for a weird conversation when you meet the guy?
You know, I'm in Kansas City, so I wasn't there, but okay. I know the bench coach for the White Sox used to work with Q in Tampa, and he walked DeJong across the field over to the dugout, so over to the visiting dugout to introduce him to Q, and then Paul went back to the White Sox clubhouse, packed up, and went across the hall to our clubhouse. So it's one of those odd ones. You know, I even though he didn't get in the game last night, you know, you feel like you have an advantage for one game over most of these guys that were traded because he's playing in that game that night, and he just happened to be across the way. So it was a different situation, kind of neat. It'll be a funny story he'll tell one day to his kids down the road.
I feel like he's got to be real, you know, like most players during the trade deadline, there's got to be a lot of excitement where you get kind of reinvigorated over the idea that you went from a team that didn't have a chance to compete to a team that's in a playoff spot.
Yeah, I think that happens a lot. And most of these trades that happen were players going from teams that weren't having a ton of success this year and two teams that are in the middle of a race. So I think there's a lot of excited players across baseball today that they're now playing the last 2 months, which are the toughest 2 months to get through. They will be reinvigorated and should bring some energy to their new clubhouse, whoever the player may be.
I don't think we could have you on the show, JJ, without talking about Bobby Witt Jr., though. I mean, my goodness, we are running out of like ways to describe what he's doing. But we were discussing yesterday that, you know, in other sports, maybe it's easy to say a player just takes over a game. We don't see that as much in baseball, but that's exactly what Bobby Witt Jr. did the other night in an inning stretch with that grand slam and those defensive plays.
No question. As soon as it happened, I was texting several people. I think we just watched like Michael Jordan finish a game off in the last 2 minutes. That's what it felt like. It just doesn't happen in baseball because you have to have the opportunities as a position player. You got to be, you know, in the batter's box hitting in the big situation, and then the ball has to get hit to you. So for all those things to align, it's just, you know, you just don't see it. But then to see the player come through the way he did, it's hard not to think of Michael Jordan or LeBron or whoever you want to, you know, comp it to. But in baseball, it's really tough to get those moments. And Bobby, he won that game for us. I mean, seemed like we were dead in the water and it was going to be a frustrating loss. And all of a sudden, great at-bats taken before. And I think there can't be enough said about those at-bats to get Bobby up, you know, to get him in the batter's box at that moment and give him the opportunity. But then for him to do what he did, just, I mean, it was a wild moment. And then he caps it off with the two plays in the field. So special player. And, you know, even last night, you know, I think there were so many things that went right on that play. Really well executed by Bobby, by Vinny taking second base, and then by Vance Wilson sending him. I mean, that's an exciting play. For me, that's the most exciting play in baseball. And I hope fans don't, you know, look past that play because you don't get a chance to run that play that much. But when the players are on their toes and they're thinking that way and they give you a chance to do it, it's really exciting to see. And it happened to be the winning run for us.
Sounded like Vinny called you out in postgame last night. Did you see the clip? He said, JJ, I've seen the clip. Yeah. I know that you guys, you know, I know you've made me study it.
Yeah, somebody sent it to me, so I did see it. And, you know, pretty funny that Vinny said that. I'm really happy that he said it because we do spend a lot of time on that, and it's a testament to our coaches and player development. He didn't need to call me out, but that's okay. I'll take it.
He knows it's an important play to you, you know?
Yeah, well, there is a level of satisfaction when a player says that and you know that he was listening and others were listening, because again, we spend time on that. That's a big moment. And when you can do it, you know, the work that they did 5 years ago paid off last night and helped us win a game.
All right. JJ Piccolo, Royals general manager. Appreciate the time, and get a sweep later on today.
Will do. Thank you, guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.